I am convening this meeting of the Joint Legislative Committee on Information Management and Technology. Today is February 2nd, and welcome to new members. I'm Nancy Nathanson, State Representative. We do have a quorum today. We're missing one member, Co-Chair Senator Chuck Riley, who we expect should be with us next at the next meeting. The first thing I'd like to do before we conduct any other business, just to make sure we're doing business according to Hoyle or according to Mason, is adopt rules. Is there a member who is willing to make a motion to adopt? Thank you. Representative Nierman has moved to adopt committee rules. We have committee rules in front of us. Is there discussion about the rules that have been proposed? Are there any objections to the rules? No objections? Rules are adopted. Good. Before we proceed, let's introduce ourselves to each other. Starting on the Senate side, let's just start over here and share with each other just a couple sentences what might be interesting to help colleagues know what experience or interest you have in this area.
Very good. My name's Dennis Linthicum. I'm from Klamath County, former Klamath County Commissioner, and recently elected to the Senate. I got into this committee because I was talking specifically with President Courtney about the Community Corrections HB 3194 court system and sheriff's office and local police departments and community corrections all having disparate systems, and trying to get statistics from one didn't match statistics from the other, et cetera. And that was the language of our conversation. I have a background in IT. I was a senior VP for information systems in a Fortune 400 company down in California. And as we got into that conversation, next thing you know, there's a committee assignment sheet in my mailbox. And so here I am. Thank you for allowing me time.
And I'm Alan DeBoer, so I'm the very junior senator since he won the coin flip. I didn't lose it. And we're in neighboring districts, so I'm from Ashland, Medford, Southern Oregon. I was mayor of Ashland on school board for 8 years, and because of my friend's demise, Senator Bates used to be my neighbor. I was in Rotary with him and a good friend. So I'm in the seat for 2 years and a short term, and then re-election through that process again. So I don't know how I ended up on the committee. I just told President Courtney wherever he thought, and so here I am, and look forward to working and learning and seeing how the whole system works.
Oh, good, good. Great. Welcome, Representative Clem.
Well, I'm Brian Clem, and I represent Salem. We're actually sitting kind of in the middle of my district, so for those of you who are getting apartments and hotels throughout Salem, I kind of have the downtown part a little bit south of the downtown and what's called Bush Park, and then all of the portion through the center out to I-5 on the other side of I-5. So most of the legislators are residents of my district during the session, and so all of my Republican colleagues like to assert that I should vote their way because they're my constituents. during this time, especially Representative Wilson, because he owns a house actually in my district too. So I, you know, oblige them sometimes, certainly. I own an IT consulting firm called Onsite PC, and I have since May of 2000. So for about 17 years, my primary source of income has been from IT. That has deluded people into thinking I actually know everything about IT. I can't design a website. I don't do security, but we do outsource IT functions for companies who are a little bit too small to want to have their own IT department. So they want professional help, but they don't want just a little computer shop that they call every now and then. They want someone to handle all their IT, but they don't want to have a full IT department. So our clients might be 30 to 50 users, and we'll handle all IT functions within a company. And I just do that basically in the Salem area. I used to do more in Portland and Hood River, but I just do that here. And I have other business-related things that people can find out about, but they're not related to this committee in particular. I also chair the Agriculture Committee. That's the other main thing I do here in the legislature, is natural resource things, and that has to do with marrying a farmer's daughter, and we own an orchard.
I knew the orchard was going to come.
Yeah. It's for sale right now, actually. I may not own it much longer.
What kind of orchard?
Pears.
All right.
Yeah. Well, some cherries, 15 acres of cherries, but mostly pears.
I'm State Representative Mike Nierman, from House District 23. The biggest city in my district is Dallas. I've said that once at a thing, and then Rob Nose was sitting next to me, and when he started, he said the biggest city in his district is Portland. And so, anyway, but and so my district goes from Dayton all the way down to the Lane County border, so it takes me 2 hours to drive north-south in my district there, so it's a lot of rural area there. And my IT experience is kind of the other end from Senator Linthicum and Representative Clem. I'm a software engineer, and I'm just a regular old garden variety C-sharp, .NET, MySQL developer when I have my Windows hat on. And when I have my open source hat on, I'm doing PHP, Perl, and MySQL, which is kind of the open source flavor of Oracle. So that's what I do. And you can tell by that last little description there that I have just barely enough social skills to actually get elected to the legislature. So anyway, I'm very excited to be on this committee. I know last session I was one of the few people who was excited to be on this committee. Representative Nathanson was, but there were some other people that weren't all that excited about being on this committee. But anyway, it looks, seems like everybody is, so I'm wanting to roll my sleeves up and get to work. On a more serious note, I just have one little announcement that I'd like to make, is I do have a conflict on Thursdays with this committee. I'm also on the Transportation and Economic Development Ways and Means Sub, which means meets at the same time, and they're both important to me. They're both important work, but that committee meets quite a bit more frequently than this committee, and so it's my intention to make this committee just slightly a priority. I just said that publicly, I guess, right? So I'm going to get in trouble with somebody for that, but it's my intention, because of the amount of time that this committee meets, to make this committee a priority. But I expect that from time to time I'll have to be absent from this for at least part of the time, and I'll do my best to let the staff and the leadership know when I'm going to be absent.
Thank you, and thank you for letting us know about that committee assignment conflict. Mm-hmm. I'm Nancy Nathanson. I represent North and Central Eugene. For almost 40 years, I worked in academic libraries, and I helped move a university library from card catalog to microfiche using OCR, optical character recognition, and then it fully into automation. And toward the end of that time, I was a program manager for an organization that connected what now is 37 university and college libraries in Oregon and Washington with an automated system to create basically one big, huge virtual library with one virtual set of patrons. So that anyone could borrow materials from anywhere else, and it was treated as one large academic collection. It was a wonderful opportunity to understand and get to know many different college campuses all around the state and in Washington as well, but also to deliver software solutions. Contracted through the private sector, and then organized through our organization, and we provided the training and so forth. In addition to that, I served on the Eugene City Council, and as one thing led to another, I was on our IT committee. I started participating in the National League of Cities, and eventually, for a time, I was on and even chaired, I think, their the ITC, information information technology and telecommunications were the areas that our committee covered. And as a result of that, I was also for a little while on an advisory committee to the FCC. So I've looked at IT and telecommunications from a public policy perspective, regulatory and revenue and so forth, but also have been have had some experience similar to the senator in becoming familiar with systems that wouldn't talk to each other and the inefficiencies that result from that. And sometimes it costs us real money because of the inefficiency and poor service to Oregonians. But then again, it costs money to do something about it. So, yes, Representative Nierman, I have been very interested in this committee. Yeah, a couple of us really did dig into it and enjoyed it. And so I hope that I think this group is going to enjoy the committee.
As does Senator Riley, too. He enjoys this committee, too.
Absolutely. Mr. McSpadden, would you please give us an orientation to what we're going to be doing on this committee?
Co-Chair Nathanson would be glad to. Members of the committee, certainly when Senator Riley rejoins us next week, we'll put him on the hot seat and he can describe his mainframe background. So I think we will have hit virtually every kind of technology platform. He can talk about his COBOL programming expertise. So certainly yes, that's right. He has an affinity with some of our state agencies, probably two more than we would like, that also are experts in COBOL and mainframe.
Anyway,
I very much look forward to Senator Riley rejoining us next week. In regard to orientation, one piece of business, as you all know, the legislature is committed to being as paperless as possible. And so all of your committee materials for this meeting and everyone following will be posted hopefully within at least 48 hours when we get moving with our committee agenda. But certainly I try to give you more than just a few days to take a look at materials. They'll all be posted on the JLCINT's Oregon Legislative Information System site. And when I do post materials, I always try to make sure that I send you all a reminder, certainly for your staff to know that materials have been posted so they can help you out. In terms of meetings, the presiding officers and the desks have been very clear about the need to have a quorum before we even start a meeting. Once we start a meeting, we can have informational items. The meeting can continue. But members, certainly, if you have pressing business, can move from this committee to others if you've got conflicts. But for the committee to take any action in any work session, we have to have a quorum. And that means two members on each side of our area here, two on the Senate, two on the House side. So I'll make sure as we proceed with our agendas over time that I'm very clear about when we're going to need a quorum and when we're not. But unfortunately, we will need a quorum even to open the meeting. Mm-hmm. So
it's not three and one.
No, unfortunately,
okay,
it has to be two and two.
Thanks for clarifying that.
Two and two. Two and two.
So let me just clarify, though. We don't need a quorum for an informational meeting, right? So
in order to open any meeting for any purpose, we have to have a quorum. But then if you had a meeting conflict, you could go back to the Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee. And then cycle back if we have any action items for that day. But I'll make sure to work with you and your legislative staff whenever we have those situations.
Good, thanks. I'll be helpful with that.
You bet. Did want to introduce myself just briefly. Again, I'm Sean McSpadden, your committee administrator. I've been here with the Legislative Fiscal Office for about 3 years now, a little more than 3 years. I came from the executive branch, 15 years in the office of the state CIO. I served as the deputy state CIO for Oregon for about 6 years. With time, my direct knowledge of operations out in the agencies does diminish a bit, but I certainly try to keep very good relationships with those folks, and we work very closely with the current state CIO, Alex Pettit, and his staff. So certainly if you have questions over time in regard to what's happening with technology in any particular agency or with any particular project, please feel free to contact me. I do have a primary counterpart in our office. His name is Bob Cummings. Bob has been with the Legislative Fiscal Office for 7 or 8 years, maybe 8 or 9 now. He and I split the oversight caseload of all state agencies, certainly for the major IT projects. And so you'll see Bob and I in and out of the committee, in particular as we move to the action portion of our agenda, probably in mid-April, when project requests, large budget requests are being reviewed. Also want to introduce our committee assistant, Dawn Monaghan. This is her first session. Very glad to work with Dawn. It's been great to work with you so far, and I'm sure she'll be a resource for the committee as we continue on our way. Just moving down the first page of that three-page document that we printed out for you, just going to hit on a few highlights. Of course, we're going to operate under the rules we just adopted. I've talked about the need for a quorum and what constitutes a quorum. I've talked about the materials that will be posted on OLIS. Again, we'll try to make sure you have more than adequate time to review that. Meeting notices, I mentioned the 48-hour notice. As we get later in the session, of course, the presiding officers may change that notice time frame. But I think with us meeting just once a week, we should be able to, for the most part, easily meet those posting deadlines. Moving on to page 2 of the document that we printed out. Just wanted to highlight at this point, we have not been assigned any bills, but certainly we know of at least 4 information technology related bills on the Senate side. There likely will be a few on the House side. And this committee, the co-chairs are having me work with legislative counsel on 2 bills that likely will be brought forward to the committee with a request for the committee to adopt those 2 bills as committee bills. And you'll hear more about them at our next meeting, February 9th. Hopefully we'll have some legislative council drafts back by that time. If not, it'll be February 16th that will bring that forward for your review and consideration. In general, throughout the session, we're going to follow along the multi-phase process that the Joint Committee on Ways and Means has established for agencies as their budgets move forward. So in phase 1, that's approximately the first 6 weeks or so of the session. Actually a little longer than that, probably 10 weeks of the session into early to mid-April. We'll be working with the Office of the State CIO. He'll be here next week to give you all a statewide IT overview of the executive branch. Then in subsequent meetings, we'll bring in some of his staff to talk about what's happening in the various program areas within the executive branch, the natural resources area, the public safety area, and so forth. We'll bring in the Judicial Department, the Legislative Administration, to give you all a flavor of what's happening in the other branches of government. And then we'll bring in the Secretary of State and the Treasurer to talk about IT and the constitutional offices. So those will be probably the first 3 or 4 meetings. It'll be informational for the committee, for those watching, and for us to be able to work with those agencies on more detailed presentations that they'll come forward with after that. We'll move from the broader view to specific agency presentations with the limited amount of time that we have, the number of meetings that we have throughout the session. We have about 20 or 21 meetings total, meeting once per week across the next 4 or 5 months. We'll bring in just a very few, probably half a dozen to 8 or 9 of the largest agencies and have them give you a better feel for what's happening in their agencies, and in particular their very largest projects that they're working on now and or that may come along with a big budget request that the Joint Committee on Ways and Means is reviewing.
I'm going to interrupt for a moment. Sure. I'd like to back up to something you mentioned just a moment ago. Those members who've been on this committee or in the legislature a while will be familiar with this issue, but I'd like you to expand just a moment for our the senators who are new to this committee. You mentioned that we will hear from not only the executive branch agencies, but from the judicial branch and the legislative branch and the constitutional offices. Even though citizens might think the whole state operates as a single unit and everything is all organized, it doesn't exactly work like that. So could you explain just a bit more about why there are some challenges to why it's not just like one big top down, you know, if someone says make it so, you just make it so.
Will do. Co-Chair Nathanson, members of the committee, I'll focus primarily on the executive branch. Within the executive branch alone, there are approximately 1,900 information technology classified staff that are distributed across 47 or so state agencies. Only about 200 to 250 of those staff have a direct hardline reporting relationship to the state CIO. So most of those resources are working out in the agencies. And so in part, that's why we're going to have a statewide overview from the state CIO first, and then later we're going to bring in individual agencies because they do have unique and or individual control over most of the IT resources, and that includes people, assets, and budgets. In terms of the other branches, of course, we've got a constitutional separation. There is where possible and or on a voluntary basis, there is some coordination, collaboration, and or leveraging of technology that occurs across the branches. But for instance, you know, the Judicial Department is not a tenant agency in the state data center. Only part of the legislature's IT infrastructure is housed in the state data center. Most of it is off-site. Same thing happens with the constitutional offices. They have alternative computing.
You mean separately elected officials.
Yeah, separately elected officials. They have separate data centers and separate staff that report straight up their own chain of command within their agencies. So we have quite a bit of, I wouldn't even call it a federated model. It really is, you know, a decentralized model. We do have some federated shared services, for those who kind of understand that term, some leveraging of common technology, but nowhere near, you know, a consolidated IT environment. So it's very challenging. Senator.
Is in that model you're describing, are there strategic goals that match across those different units? Everyone may have a good idea, but then there's other, you know, marketplace incentives or products and services that may take the left-hand turn instead of the right-hand turn. And I'm curious if there's strategic officers coming. The CIO is actually an executive branch, correct?
That's correct.
So I can imagine there's a lot of independence from the other organizations and a desire to maintain their independence. But nevertheless, a strategic perspective would be valuable. Does that occur at all today?
Co-Chair Nathanson, members of the committee, Senator Linthicum, there is, by statute, the requirement for the state CIO to publish every biennium and or to update every biennium a state enterprise information resource management plan. That's the formal name for it. So it's a state IT plan that establishes some high-level goals, objectives, and strategies for the executive branch. The separately elected officials and their staff in other statutes are either encouraged or required to develop similar plans, policies, and procedures that align with the state CIO, but they're not required to be subject to any oversight from the state chief information officer. So there is transparency in regard to what the state CIO believes the state as a whole should do. Of course, those plans are developed in collaboration with the agencies. There's some requirement for that. But it's a loosely coupled environment, to be kind. It isn't, there really is not a hard requirement that all plans align, that all standards or architectures align. A lot of independence and unique unique decisions that have been made.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet. Just to continue on and kind of close out the orientation section. So again, once we get through that phase one, we'll then move into public hearings and work sessions on individual project requests and bills that come before the committee. Maybe very possible for us to take some action on specific bills earlier in the phase one process. But again, none have been assigned yet, and I don't yet have the committee bills. So until I do, I really can't work with the co-chairs to accelerate some of that work. So generally, phase two would begin somewhere in the second or third week in April. We'd have a variety of work sessions on, again, bills and projects, and then forward those recommendations to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means, their specific subcommittees. And the commitment that we make within our office is that we'll make sure, as a committee coordinator, that I'll work very closely with the coordinators for all the subcommittees of Ways and Means to make sure that, you know, our work aligns with theirs, that we get our recommendations to them in time for them to take action on them, and so on and so forth. Really, that's all I had today. Just wanted to give you a general idea of what our going-in plan is, and of course, you know, once you get into the battle, the plan certainly can change.
Can you reflect for a moment on how there may be some IT bills that are just strictly policy bills and would not be headed for Ways and Means, whereas other IT bills, maybe many IT bills, will have a price tag attached, and those would have to go to a budget committee?
You bet. Co-Chair Nathanson, members of the committee, to be clear, in 2015, there was an information technology subcommittee of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means, and that structure only lasted through the 2015 session. After the session closed, the co-chairs got together and decided to form the statutorily defined Joint Legislative Committee on Information Management Technology, that is this committee. This committee has a broader purview. It has an oversight responsibility, but does have an ability to introduce bills as a separate committee, does have an ability to hear and act on policy bills if the presiding officers decide to refer those bills here. So anything that is policy related, this committee could take action on and have the actions of this committee forwarded to the floor directly. For the most part, though, if there is a fiscal impact associated with a bill and the co-chairs of Ways and Means would like this committee's input, we will have the bill. We'll hold any number of public hearings and work sessions. The committee would adopt some recommendations, and those would be forwarded to the specific subcommittee of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means that is handling the budget or fiscal issues. So that's really when we have that interplay, this committee to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. But there are some carve outs, and certainly we have some independent. You all have some independent authority to work bills that don't have a fiscal impact. Mm-hmm. So, and I think some of the members to be, you know, open wanted that kind of freedom, wanted an ability to expand the agenda, so to speak, the ability for this committee to take action on non-budget related items in the past, and in part that's why the JLCIMT was reformed.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, great.
Any other questions? This is just our getting to know you and getting oriented day. I don't expect any meeting in the future to be this short.
That's right. So, again, as a reminder for you all and your staff and folks listening, we're going to be meeting once per week on Thursdays from 1 to 2:45. If we have a quorum, we can start timely, and we'll do our best to end timely at 2:45.
Okay. Anything else? Thank you all.
Great.
We're adjourned.
Great. Thank you. Okay. That must be difficult. By the way, you're... By the way, you're...